The Lord dealt my heart on something. I read through this and I read a piece and came back to it and read a little more and kept coming back to it. And the Lord let me deal with it a little bit, study it out a little bit. And I say this as humbly as I know how. When God gave it to me, I knew here's where to preach it. And I knew that Brother Barry would be calling. But I promise you, with that being said, I promise you that it doesn't seem to fit. And the meeting, it just doesn't seem to fit. But I'm confident. I have a clear direction from the Lord. And so all I'm responsible for is just give you the word. And that's what I want to do tonight. Let's all stand, if you will. Thank God for your preacher tonight. I love Brother Barry. I told Brother William a while ago, Brother Dade over here that testified a moment ago. I count Brother Barry one of the dearest friends I have in the world. And I appreciate that. I count this church a dear friend. Many of you are deep friends, good friends. And I thank you for that so much. What I want to deal with tonight, I want to deal with slowly and methodically and seriously.
Amen.
Seriously.
Amen.
Very seriously. It's not something that we'll shout about. I promise you, as of when I walked up here, the shout's over. Really. The shout's over, Brother Barry. And, but I... when you're confident deeply in your heart that you have the message of God, you're not. Brother Billy Mitchell says a statement I've learned many years. He says this. He said, if you're preaching for the Lord, whether they shout or pout, it won't bother you.
Amen.
Because you're preaching for the Lord.
Right. Yes, sir.
And that's right. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5 tonight. So much has been said about being saved. If you're lost, please know that the Lord Jesus loves you.
That's
He loved you enough to go to heaven, come from heaven and come to this earth and die for you.
Yes, sir.
And he wants you to be saved. You can be saved tonight. You'll come to the Lord.
Amen.
Matthew 5. I want to make one more statement about this and then I'm going to preach. Lord, help me. I want to move along rather rapidly and kind of just give you this. But it just, to me, if I wasn't sure about it before I got here, I'd been unsure when I got here. It does not fit the meeting. It does not seem to fit the meeting. But you understand behind and beneath the height of the service is hearts that have things hidden.
Yes, sir.
They're not always up to where you think it's at.
Right,
Matthew 5:20, Jesus said, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Let's bow to pray. Father, tonight, thank you for the good presence of God that we've already enjoyed. Every word of testimony and exhortation, God, that's been given. Lord, I pray for your help tonight. I feel confident, God, that this is the message that you've laid on my heart. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me deliver it to bring glory to you. Lord, please speak to every heart and make us aware of the truth that's before us. We love you. I need you, God, in a deep and special way. And I know you'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. These verses are part of what we entitle the Sermon on the Mount. We're all familiar with that, the Sermon on the Mount. They're not principles by which we gain the kingdom of God. That being said, what I mean, they're not principles that we live by that will get us saved. We get saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We get saved by faith in Christ and Him alone, without any mixture of works, good or bad. Nothing we do could ever save us. So these verses are not given to us to tell us how to be saved. But they're verses that are given to us to regulate our life once we are in the kingdom of God. They tell us how to live our life for the Lord. And there's so many principles here that you could preach months and weeks on anything that's recorded here. When I was reading this exactly a month ago tonight, I was reading verse number 22, actually verse 21 through 26, and I came down to verse 26, and he said this. He said, "Verily, I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." Boy, I got thinking about what he'd said up through here, and I got the more it got a hold of me, the bigger it got in my life. Now, what I'm going to preach on, you're going to kind of turn a little eye up about and frown on just a bit. I'm going to preach on this thought tonight. The cost of contention. The cost of contention. I want to look at the text and just go through it real quickly and come to several things. Notice here, first of all, what our Lord is speaking about. Notice in verse number 22. He said, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause." He goes on down and says, "Who will say to his brother, Raca?" In verse 23 he says, "Thou rememberest that thy brother hath an ought against thee." He's talking about brethren that are angry one with another. Brethren that have had contention and strife among themselves. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about so much not getting along with the world or having problems with the world. He's talking about the relationship between brethren. Now with that said, let's move on just a minute. Not only what our Lord's speaking about, but notice to whom our Lord's speaking. Look what he said, if you will, please, in verse number 21. He said, "Ye have heard." You've heard. Look at verse 27. He said, "Ye have heard." Look at verse 31. "It hath been said." Look at verse 33. Stay with me in your Bible. This is all going somewhere. "Again, you have heard." Look at verse 38. He says, "Ye have heard." Look at verse 43. He says, "Ye have heard." Who's he talking to? He's talking to people that are not ignorant of the Word of God, but they know the will of God. It's been disclosed, discoursed, and discussed among them. He's not talking to people who are ignorant of the mind of God. He says, "You've heard, you've heard, you've heard, you've heard, you know what the Word of God said." So he's talking to people that are intelligent concerning the Word of God. Look at this now. He said not only what our Lord's speaking about, to whom our Lord's speaking, but notice why he's speaking. Notice why he's speaking. Why is he talking? He said in verse 20 that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What's he talking about? Please get this closely. He's talking about the difference in outward actions and inward attitudes. Get a hold of that. The Pharisees said that a man is right with God when he has his outward actions right. Jesus is saying that true salvation is more than an outward action. It is an inward attitude. You see, you can have your actions right on the outside and the inside not be right and still not be right with God. I see people who've got their outward actions right, they're dressing right, they're talking right, but inside their attitude is not right in the sight of God. Now, look, let me just say this and I'll come to my text. Look what he's saying here. Why he's speaking. He's speaking about that outward attitude, that outward action versus that inward attitude. But notice the way he's speaking. Look at verse 22. This is just kind of an introduction. Look at verse 22. He said, but I say unto you. Look at verse number 28. He said, but I say unto you. Verse 32. But I say unto you, look at your Bible, verse 39:4. He said, but I say unto you, verse 38 and verse 39. But I say unto you, verse 44. But I say unto you, he's saying this. You need to forget superstition, tradition, and take as an authoritative statement what I'm saying about this matter. Amen. Now, what is anger? I want to change the way I've got my outline a minute. I believe the Holy Ghost had me change the outline. Is anger a bad thing? You said, preacher, you got to miss it, man, to come to a meeting like this and preach on anger. I'm not missing it. I'm telling you, I'm not missing it. I wanted to talk a minute, and I'll come back to it if the Lord willing, on harmony with the brother, the command. And then hostility toward a brother, the cost. How big a thing is anger? Think about that. Think about that. How big of a thing is anger? Now I know it didn't get quiet. Look at verse 22, verse 21. He said, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. In verse 21, he deals with assassination of a human being, killing a human being. And he says that you're in danger of judgment when you do that. Stay with me now. And we know that murder has the judgment of death written upon it. Is that not right? God gave that before the flood, after the flood. And it's still intact today. And if our government would kill a bunch of these thugs and put them to death, we could solve a lot of problems in our nation. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? He deals with assassination of another in verse 21. Look in verse number 27. You have heard that it was said to them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. He deals with adultery in verse 27. Now, will you not agree that that assassination is an awful sin? Will you also not agree that adultery is an awful sin? But look here a minute, buddy. Sandwiched right between adultery and assassination is anger. He's categorizing anger in the same list of sins as adultery and assassination. Is it bad? Let me preach a minute. Look back at your text. Look closely at verse 22. Verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Remember that little statement. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever's angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. He's saying that assassination of another and being angry at another carries the same penalty. That's what he said. He said, if you kill, you're in danger of the judgment. And if you're angry with your brother without a cause, the same judgment that rests upon the head of a murderer rests upon the head of an angry man. Wow. I told you it ain't gonna shout. I told you shout's over and I walked up here. I'm gonna tell you something tonight. Anger is an awful sin. Probably it split more churches than assassination and adultery. It probably tore up more homes than assassination and adultery. It's put more people in prison than assassination and adultery. Help me, God, tonight. May I deal with that just a minute here? Let me say, number one, the definition of anger. Help me, God. Webster says that the word anger comes from a Latin word, the origin of which means to strangle, to choke, to strain or draw together, to press, to squeeze, or to narrow. He says it means a violent passion of the mind which desires to hurt somebody. Well, it's going to be hard preaching tonight, I can tell this. Brother Barry talked about all that easy preaching. I know where I was going, and I thought, I hope you're right. It's saying, man, I could just choke them. If I had them, I'd just choke them. May I say this as humbly as I possibly know how. I feel like somehow tonight there's a little undercurrent of anger somewhere. That little undercurrent of anger. The definition of it. There's two words in your Bible that deals with anger. The first is thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S, thumos. And it means a quick rising anger. It really speaks of a small little piece of dry brush that just to quickly flash up and burn that's gone away. A quick flash of anger. We all have those. Anybody here that's never had that, I'd question your honesty. All you've got to do to have thumos is find a weed eater that won't start. Or pull on a lawnmower cord for a few minutes and you'll have a quick burst of anger. I had a weed eater some years back and before I moved to where I'm at, and you remember Tom Klaus, and it was Easter, going to be Easter, and we was having get together at the house, and I took my weed eater up to get it tuned up, going to let Tommy tune it up. It was running pretty good, and I thought I'd let him give her a tune it up before I put her in the weed field, you know. He tuned her up and I brought her home, and me and Dorothy hadn't been married too long, and I cranked her up and she liked to never crank, and I was already getting pretty hot. Amen. And I laid her down and walked away, and I come back and cranked at her some more. Finally I got her started and I'd pick her up and sit down on the gas and die. I'd crank and die. I was getting pretty hot. After about 5, 10, 15 minutes of that, you know what I done? What I ought not done. I took it by the end, I warped it against a tree and broke it all to pieces. Me and Dorothy had been married about 2 years. Next time I know, I looked up and she's sitting in the truck with the doors locked. Amen. That's thumos. But that's not the kind of anger that really causes problems. It rises up and it soon dies down. Now you don't pout over that kind of anger a week from now or a month from now. That kind of anger's up and it's gone. But it's the other word that gives trouble, and it's the word orgy. And it's the same word that we get our slang word in our generation, sensual passion, from. Orgy. It's an anger that becomes a passion. And you pet it, and you pet it, and you pet it. Amen. And you refuse to get over it. And every time you think about that thing, you get off on it again, and you get angry about it again. That kind of anger is going to destroy you. Let me just preach a minute here. The definition of anger. The defense of anger. I don't want to talk much about that because too much I want to say. The defense of anger. Jesus said, be angry and sin not, Paul did rather. In other words, you've got an anger that you can get angry at. And that's an anger at sin and an anger at wrong. Amen. Somebody said here a while back at the church, said, when you get to preaching hard against sin, you look like you get mad. I said, nope. Don't look like I got mad. I walked in the pulpit mad. I stay mad at the devil. You ought to get mad at him too. When he's doing what he's doing in our society, you ought to get mad at sin. Jesus, the Bible said, looked out on him in the book of Mark, and he was angry at the hardness of their heart. The defense of it. Let me talk to you real quickly about the development of anger. What causes anger to develop? See, if I didn't know now I'm the will of God, I'd be troubled right now because I ain't preaching the best I ever preached. Selfishness is the first cause of anger. Selfishness. Lack of love for others and too much love for yourself causes anger. Pride and ego causes anger, hurt feelings, and can't have your way. Listen, I'm telling you, friend, I've watched this thing for 36 years. I've watched people grow angry at little things that didn't go their way, and they got hurt. And before you know it, we'll see in a minute, a good thing turns to a bad thing. A good church. Man, I know y'all questioning my message. Turns to a bad church. A glorious meeting turns to a grievous meeting. And it all started with somebody that was nursing anger. And outwardly, it's all covered. But inwardly, I was in a meeting several years back, been 15 years ago or more. I preached on one night on a revival of the love of God. I got done preaching and a man walked up who I knew well was a deacon in the church. He walked up and I didn't know what's fixing to happen. I knew after I got done preaching there's some problems there. And I walked up and he walked up and he said, I want you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And he called out about 8 or 9 of them. I want you up here right now. And they walked up there and his wife come up and he said, I want you to know something. I've been mad at you all for 5 years. And I've harbored these ill feelings and nobody knowed it. Our meetings have died. Our church has died. People aren't getting saved and things aren't right with God. And I've harbored it and I want you to forgive me. His wife, the deacon's wife, said, I've done the same thing. I'm telling you, Brother Barry, they went to hugging necks all over the building. People got to getting those little angry feelings right, getting rid of those things. Amen. The meeting broke out. People got saved. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, friend, anger can develop in the worst of us. Wow. the development of anger. Let me say this, the deepening of anger. It starts with brooding. Brooding over it. You ever brood over something? Yes. Where's all the shouting at right now? I tell you what brooding does. He takes it to bed with you. I'm right down where the rubber meets the road, as J. Vernon McGee says. You take it to bed with you. Any of you women ever do that? No, women don't do that. Any of you men ever do that? You take it to bed and you start brooding over it. And all of a sudden you start making up in your mind what you're going to tell that person. And you're going to have the upper hand in the conversation. There's just one thing wrong with that. When you finally get to have that conversation, they don't cooperate with what you've got figured out. I'm in the will of God right now, trust me. You brood over it. And you think about 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 it. And they hurt me. They done me wrong. Then brooding turns to bitterness. Esau turned to bitterness. Cain thought about it till it turned to bitterness. It turns to bitterness. And it ended up with Cain murdering Abel. Esau wanting to murder Jacob. Saul wanted to kill David. Joab murdering Abner. And Ahithophel committing suicide. Over a little angry feeling because of selfishness. Things aren't going my way. I said that murder is a killer to a relationship. May I say anger can do as much to a relationship. That's murder. Hear me now. Jesus is not saying in this passage that anger leads to murder. He's saying that anger is the same thing as murder. You say, I don't believe that's what he said. Didn't he say that if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart? What he's really saying, if you look upon a brother with a desire to hurt him, you just as well as already killed him in your heart. Now, I don't know nothing about what's going on in everybody's life here. I barely know my own. But see, what happens is this anger starts deepening. There's brooding. Unchecked anger will eventually lead to uncontrolled actions. Unchecked anger births uncontrolled actions. Then the bitterness leads to bashing. Look at your text. Look at verse 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Notice what that angry spirit leads to. Whosoever say to his brother, Rakah, then thou fool. Now deal with that later if the Lord let us. But he, you know what the anger does? Brooding, bitterness. And then you start belittling and bashing people. And if you come up here and read my notes right here, Brother Bear, you might want to come up here and read them. It says right there, oh God, forgive me. At the times that I've got angry and belittled somebody because of my anger. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, the action is being fed by the inward attitude. I just wish they'd drop dead. And I want to say this. I don't care if you're 10 or 75. I'm preaching to every last one of us. Bashing, bitterness, brooding. And then all of that leads to barriers. You put up barriers. Before you know it, there's a barrier between you and your companion. There's a barrier between you and your church. You start throwing up all those walls. And a preacher don't have to have too much discernment to sense it. Young people start getting barriers and they develop little cliques. Churches start getting the barriers and they get little cliques and they shove this little family out and that little group ain't welcome in this little group. And for you know it, that little angry spirit somewhere is at the bottom of that thing, feeding that of an angry heart. Psalmist said this in Psalm 37:8, cease from anger and forsake wrath, for fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I didn't want to preach this tonight. What's the danger? Look at, we've talked about the development, the deepening, the definition, the defense. But notice the danger of it. Look what Jesus said in verse 22. He says, is it going to cause something? According to Jesus, it will. Look at verse 22, the danger of it. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. I want to ask you the question. Verse 26, he said it's going to cost you something. He said there's some dangers that are attached to anger. What's all that mean? Can I ask you a question? Would you be honest with me? How many has read these verses of Scripture before and never took time to really think about what they meant? Danger of the judgment. Danger of the council. And Brother Barry, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, said, if you're angry with your brother, you are in danger of hellfire. Preacher didn't say that. Did he mean what he said? Does that mean you can fall from grace? No. What's it mean? What's all this mean that you're in danger? I believe he's saying this two things, and he said, number one, that you're in danger of allowing your anger to bring you into human courtrooms. Judgments, counsels, lawyers. Quiet. You are in danger of letting your anger bring you before human courtrooms. Let me ask you a question. How many people are in jail tonight or there because of an angry moment? It brought them into the human courtroom. Please stay with me. I'm serious in what I'm preaching. I have a friend tonight. I won't call his name. Some of you may know him. Back in 1985, he had been married about 2 months. Good-looking young boy. Had everything in the world going for him. Got married, lived in a little apartment. Came home one day, early from work. Walked in, caught his wife and another boy in bed together. I believe him to the day. Brother Henry, I don't believe much of this stuff, but I believe he told the truth. He looked at me behind bars, through bars. He went out, so angry, and grabbed a gun, ran back into the bedroom, and killed both of them. They called me, and I went to the jail. I stood and looked at him. His first name's Gary. I looked at him through the bars, and I said, Gary, what happened? And he said, Buster, he said, before God, God in heaven's my witness. This boy went to church faithful. He said, God in heaven's my witness. They said I killed him, but I do not remember it. He said, I got so bitterly angry. And I'm sitting in the courtroom one day, and the judge looked down over the bench and said and called his name. He said, I sentence you to 40 years in the Bland County Correctional Institute. Gary's been sitting there since 1986 because of a moment of anger. Jesus said, you're in danger when you get angry. You say, it'll never get me that far. Hey, you don't know how far your temper can take you. You're in danger of the council. You're in danger of the judgment and the penalty. He's talking about in that statement, the judgment is the death penalty. Somebody better listen to me tonight. You're in danger of the death penalty. Man, a life. Anybody listen? Brother Henry, are you praying for me? Anybody listen to me tonight? You're in danger of the human courtrooms. But he said that your anger can put you in danger of the heavenly courtroom. You say, what's he mean? You're in danger of the hell fire. Simply this. He that hateth his brother, 1 John 3, he that hateth his brother is what? A murderer. And he said, no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You know what he's saying? A man, listen, come here. Hey, I'm preaching somebody. I'm telling you, I know it's quiet, but I'm preaching somebody. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. A saved man can't hate people. He that hateth his brother, he that's angry with his brother, no murderer. He said, you're a murderer, and no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You see, it's one thing come church when everybody's singing good and shouting and hooting and hollering. But Jesus is saying, if you live a life where anger and hatred controls you, you are not saved. Some of the meanest people in the world sit right on church benches. No murderer hath eternal life. He's not talking about he that commits the act of murder. He's talking about he that has the attitude of anger and hate in his heart. I'm telling you, friend, you better listen to me. He's saying three things here about this judgment. He says, number one, judgment certain. Look at verse 26. Verily I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out. He said, judgment's certain. No way you're going to get by. Help me, God. Boy, the longer I preach, the more better than I'm getting. I don't know about you. Judgment's certain, he's saying. You ain't going to get out of it. A lot of Bible scholars believe that what he's talking about here, this council judgment thing, he's talking about the process that puts you through court and all the legal matters and ramifications and all the costs that it's expended in trying to settle a disposition of anger. Amen. I saw my mother and daddy fight and quarrel for years. From about 1979, 78, 79 until 1990, my dad and mom spent $150,000 trying to divorce and get back together and trying to divorce and get back together over anger. I'm telling you, friend, The cost is not what you want to pay at the end of the road. It's going to cost you something. He said, you're not going to get by till you paid the uttermost farthing. What Jesus is saying, that anger will be certainly costing you something. Listen to me. There's no such thing as losing your temper without somebody picking up the tab. Brother Barry said to me when he called the other day, he said, preacher, come with a message from heaven. I said, I hope to God I can have it. I hope that's it, Brother Brad. Now, I know that folk can go out here and say, boy, wasn't that good. God's warning somebody tonight. You may be here thinking you're saved, and anger and hate permeate your heart. Now, I didn't say you can't get mad at somebody. I've got mad people. I've got mad at some church people. If God would have let me, I'd have shoved my fist the fur down their throat. They'd have had to have a tonsillectomy to get it back. Now, I'm just honest with you. I won't tell you some of the antics I have pulled. We'll just be super spiritual and say, hallelujah, I'm a great Christian, and move on. I didn't say you can't get angry, but I'll tell you what you can't do. If God, the Holy Ghost, lives down inside of you, when you lay down on your bed, He starts fingering around down your heart. You get grieved and troubled and upset and tore up, and you can't live that way, and it can't be the master of your life, because thank God He lives inside of you. He sent judgment certain, judgment's costly, you'll pay the uttermost farthing. He said judgment is critical in the fact that if you don't get it settled, that hate, it can send you to hell. The day after Christmas last year, a year ago, my daddy fell dead in the hospital. Just got up to step over to the bathroom, dropped dead on the floor, never did breathe another breath. I've witnessed to my daddy hundreds of times. Prayed for him for years. My daddy's daddy was a preacher, quote unquote. He'd drink a while and preach a while. Go back and drink a while and get out of church and go back and preach a while. Fathered dozens of illegitimate children. Beat them boys like a dog. I've seen my daddy get himself by the hair of the head and shake his head, his hair about come out. He said, I hope my daddy's burning in hell. I hate my daddy. I'd say, Dad, you've got to deal with that anger. And in many ways, Dad's anger sent him to hell. And your unforgiving spirit and your hateful attitude, the Bible said that before you got saved, according to Titus 3, you were hateful and hating one another before you got saved. Hate don't drive your life after you get saved. Love drives your life. There's a danger of an angry attitude, an angry action, and an angry arrogance. Would you bear with me a minute? It's just one part of many, but I can't get through it, I don't think. The angry attitude. You say to your brother without a cause, I hate you. An angry action, you start saying reka. What's that word reka mean? What's word reka mean? You say to your brother, you're so angry with him, you say reka. It means empty-headed, sap-headed, stupid nothing. That put you in danger. And then you say thou fool. Now what's that mean? In our English society, the word fool is a statement based upon the IQ level of a human being. But in the context of the Bible, the word fool does not mean a statement based upon the IQ level of someone. It speaks, it's the same word as moros. We get our word moron from. And it speaks of a person who does not know God and therefore deserves the wrath of God and should not have the mercy of God. He said, I hate you so much that I wish you'd just go to hell. And Jesus said, when you get that kind of attitude inside of you, that you want another to die without God, that God don't live in you that has the attitude. So much I'd like to say. Now, just so we're on the same page here, okay? Y'all may think I'm up here preaching on this, thinking that I'm some kind of great, great Christian and I'm above what I'm preaching. No, it ain't that way. My people are hot-blooded people. And I'm pretty well that way. But I'll tell you what I've learned. That old temper, dear brother, has got me in more trouble than I could get out of. Help me, God. And I have learned over the years a little bit that letting my anger have its course is just not worth the cost that I've had to pay before it's over. I've hurt my wife because of it. I've come out wrong to my church. I was preaching one night. Are y'all listening to me? Anybody out there? I was preaching one night, and I remember it so well. I was preaching hard, and I was bearing down on sin pretty hard. And I got somewhere like right along in here, their church. Our church is considerably wider than this church. And I got right along here on the third seat over on the left, and man, I made a statement. I scolded God's people. Wow. Oh, man. Oh, I scolded God's people. And the minute I scolded them, the Holy Ghost ripped my heart out. I've asked God to forgive me of that probably 15 times, and it's like I can't find peace with it. God said, you don't talk to my people like that. You don't scold my people. You don't get a little miffed up and tore up and angry feeling because they ain't living the way you want them and doing what you want them to do and coming in the way you want them to come in and acting the way you want them to act and being on time and being spiritual and trying to get in the meeting and get up there and take your little anger out on them. God said, you'll pay for that. How many times are we reaping dead meetings because of somebody that's nursing an angry feeling? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, I'm closed. The damage of the anger, the definition, the defense, the development, the danger, the deepening, but the damage of it. Anger damage it. Now listen, I want you to make a statement here. I want you to listen at me closed. Help me, God. I want you to listen at me closed. Now you're going to miss it if you don't listen at me. Anger cannot damage a relationship. Anger cannot damage a relationship. Let me explain. My brother is my brother. Nothing I can do to change that relationship. They're still my brother. That woman up there is my wife. That relationship can't be changed. What it damages is not relationship. It damages fellowship. Brother Barry and I remember the first time we ever met. Preaching for Wayne Owenby. You remember it? I remember what you preached that day. You preached on if our high priest was compassed with infirmities. Out of Hebrews 5. An unlimited high priest. That's what you preached on. That's before he growed this thing right here. I walked in tonight. I wasn't sure if I was talking to Spurgeon or Barry. And I lost my train of thought. Anyhow, wherever we were, I'm trying to say that it does, that, yeah, it can't help a relationship. It can't hurt a relationship. Barry and I are brothers. We're going to die brothers. You and I are going to be a brother if we never speak to one another again. Let's suppose the worst scenario tonight. I walked out of here. Brother Barry accosted me at the door and said, I want to tell you something. I don't want that ever preached in our church no more. You don't ever get up like that again in my pulpit. I said, well, let me tell you something. And before you know it, both of our spirituality is gone. We never speak no more. We're still brothers. It can't damage that. What it does damage is our fellowship. Now what Jesus is saying, look at this minute. He says first, it's going to damage your fellowship with the Savior. Look at verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath thought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. He says it's going to affect your fellowship with the Savior. Look at this. Can I put in language what he's really saying? You'd be better off if you're sitting in a church service angry at somebody to get up out of the meeting and go get right with that person before you tried to worship God. Now, if you think it's been rough so far, you better buckle your seatbelt. I wonder how many men and women sat on a church bench angry at one another, but the minute they walk in the church, this starts going on. And you're feeling God's blessings on your life not because of your fellowship with God and your brother, but you're feeling your fellowship and your blessings on your life because of the spillover from somebody else is right. You see, the way you can tell which one it is true worship don't just happen at the church. Well, it's getting quiet. I better move on. There will be a little real worship around the house. Well, amen, that didn't go over too well. It's a good place to get a drink of water right there. Why y'all think about that just a minute? He said this. I ain't got time to read it to you because I'm just going to give you that. I'm thinking this one little truth can be done. But he said this, if you come to pray, and you remember that your brother's got an ought against you, before God will even forgive you and hear your prayer, you better forgive your brother. Now you say, this thing ain't that important. It's just as important as assassination and adultery. Because it's right between the two. Now I contend tonight, brother, and I'm not shouting, you ain't either. I contend tonight that anger is doing more damage to their churches than assassination and adultery. We church people over adultery. We church people over assassination. But we let them sit till they split our church all to pieces over anger. It'll hurt your fellowship with your Savior. Listen, let me stop just a minute. How long have I been preaching? Some of you know right to the second. Listen to me just a minute. What is the penalty for murder? What is it? Two things. Imprisonment or death penalty. Jesus is saying anger will do the same thing for you spiritually that assassination does to you naturally. Assassination causes you to be dead, to die, or it imprisons you. Anger will kill you or imprison you. It'll do the same thing for your spirit that murder will do to you naturally. You see, we're not dealing with pastor here. We're dealing with a God that said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Except you're willing to deal with that spirit of anger. I firmly believe tonight somebody has got, listen, Proverbs 21:24 said, proud and haughty scorner is he who dealeth in proud wrath. Proud wrath. Proud wrath. It'd kill you. It'd do damage to you. How many of y'all knew, how many knows who painted that first picture of Jesus at the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper? How many knows who painted that? Leonardo da Vinci. Right? He painted that great picture of the Lord's Supper. This is the history on that. During the process of painting that thing, I'm trying to close, I ain't even going to get, this is just one point out of three, but listen to me. During the process of painting that, he had an argument with a brother. This is a true story. He was at the point of painting the face of Jesus. And he had an argument with his brother, and he lashed out at him, and he lashed out at him, and they had angry, bad words, and a bad falling out. He goes back and tries to finish the painting of the Lord's Supper. And he cannot in his soul get a picture of the face of Jesus. He went for days trying to finish that painting, and he couldn't paint the face of Jesus. He said his spirit dried up. He had to lay his instruments down, go to the brother, get right with God, get right with the brother, come back, get anger out of his mind, out of his heart, out of his mind, come back and painted the face of Jesus that become the brilliant picture of the Last Supper. I heard Dr. Bob Jones say this on tape with my own ears. Are you listening to me? Dr. Jones said he was preaching, went on Friday night, going home, going to catch a train in a northern city, headed back down south. And he said he'd come to the place where the clerk was giving the tickets out, a little girl back there, and said, he said, I need a ticket. And she said, sir, I'm sorry, but all tickets are booked. He said, ma'am, you don't understand. I've got to get home. She said, sir, there's no ticket. You'll have to wait till the morning. Dr. Jones said, I walked away, and he said it just angered me. He said, I went back to that window and said, I said, ma'am, you don't know who I am. I am Dr. Bob Jones. I run a college. I'm a preacher. I'm a man of God. I want a ticket, and I want a ticket now. He said, when I walked into that train station that night, he said, the birds were singing in my heart. The joy of God was pulsating in my soul. He said, after I jumped on that woman, I turned and walked away. And he said, the birds quit singing. And the joy of God left my heart. He said, every step I took, I felt like I was going into a darker and deeper black cloud until I turned around and I went back. He said, I bowed before the woman. I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I'm a Christian, and I acted so unbecoming as a Christian and a man of God. He said, she's standing there in tears where I'd hurt her feelings. She said, would you please forgive me? She said, sir, I forgive you, but you still have to wait till morning. Dr. Bob Jones said, I turned and I walked away. And he said, the birds started singing in my heart again. Have you ever stopped the birds from singing? Have you ever been so angry that you got down and tried to pray and you couldn't? You couldn't get a hold of God? You went to church and it was dead. And Jesus didn't put that in there to waste space. I ain't preached through them. I ain't even started. The Holy Ghost had me junk the first part and the third one come to the middle. It'll hurt you with saints, the Savior, society, your siblings, your spouse, and it'll ruin your testimony with sinners. The Bible said don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm about done here, I promise you. Look at me just a minute. I read this somewhere some time back and it got a hold of me. A man up north who was a shepherd had a bunch of sheep. Look at me, I'm done. I've preached long enough. Had a bunch of sheep. And the neighbor's dogs had some old bulldogs and stuff, and the neighbor's dogs kept jumping into his sheep and killing them. He got angry about it. His first thought was, go talk to the man, and he did, and that didn't do no good. He said, that's my dogs, they do what they want to do. Then he decided, well, I'll sue him. There's dogs killing the sheep. I'll sue him. He thought that really probably won't help nothing. He finally thought, I'll kill his dogs. I'll take care of it. I'll kill his dogs. He thought that would probably make it worse. Guess what he done, preacher? The man that had the dogs had three kids. He took one of his best ewe sheep, three of them out of his flock, with a little lamb. And he gave them to that man's little kids. And you know what happened? That man decided that the dog would kill his kids' little lambs. And so he tied his dogs. How many times could we find an answer to our problems if we'd quit letting anger guide us? Now, I may never, and I don't need to. I'm not here to see something. I ain't even started preaching tonight. I may never see the real result of this message. I'm telling you, there's somebody here tonight with an angry spirit. It may be something that you thought you got right, but it's going to bleed you to death. It's going to bleed your church to death. It may be a visitor. Yeah. Crazy meeting. Crazy message for a meeting like this. You young people may be angry. The Bible said for the parent to raise them up and provoke them not to wrath. You angry than that? You're in danger. You're in danger. I've never thought too much about warping that weed eater against that tree and tearing it all to pieces. I'd go buy a new weed eater. And if I could have at the time, you know what I could have done to Tommy? I'd have choked him. I'd have choked him. It was running pretty good. He fixed it. I got over that. I went and bought a weed eater and it's done. But you know the things that's hurt me? Some childhood memories of being abused. Some church people that put a knife plumb up to the handle in my back. Sometimes I think I'm done with it. I lay in the bed deep at night or driving a road somewhere. The thing wants to live again. Make this statement and I'm done. I promise you. You say, well, I thought I got healing from it. One talk about harmony with a brother, the command. Hostility with a brother, the cost. And healing with a brother. the cure. You say, I think I'm over it. I don't think I'm angry no more about that hurt. Let me ask you this question. I'll tell you I'm done. Okay? Here's how you can tell whether you're over it or not. If it still hurts, it's not healed. If it still hurts, it ain't healed. When it hurts, it's just a scar. And scars have what? No feeling. If it still hurts, it ain't healed. If that thing still hurts you, it ain't healed. Let's stand by and pray. That's God's message, I promise you, for tonight.